It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with my broadcast partners, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. Hi, Kyle.
What's going on, David? Good to be here with you tonight.
I'm laughing. We're having a good time. And my other buddy, Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, buddy?
It's great to be back. I look forward to another show.
I would say, what's up, girl, but you won't let me do that. So that's a
whole
other...
What's up, girl? That's David's catchphrase.
Yeah,
by
exactly.
The way, I'm reporting tonight live on location from Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
I was going to say that if we couldn't get you tonight, we were trying to that you would be definitely on assignment in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We're going to make you sound important, but you were actually kind enough to go back to your hotel room so we could record a podcast. So I appreciate that very much.
I have people waiting on me, my presence at this very moment, but the podcast supersedes all fun, and we've got to get this thing done.
Guys, we have two great guests tonight. I'm just tickled to death, and I want to give a tip my hat to Bubba because he came up with these guys. And Bubba, tell the folks who we have on tonight. Two outstanding guests.
And the first guest is going to be Brian Kane. That's what I became aware of Brian several years ago when he was doing some work with Ole Miss baseball when Cliff was there. And Coach Cliff Godwin, obviously now the head coach of East Carolina baseball. But what Brian Kane does, he focuses on the mental aspects of the game. And he's with the company, or his company is called Peak Performance. And so he addresses various aspects of motivation and accountability and things of that nature. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation with him. He does things that that build team chemistry. And things that people can apply not only in athletics, but in the business world and just life in general. So I think no matter what you do and who you are, that's what you'll find this conversation very interesting.
Yes, and we'll have an offer for you. I'll just say that. And we'll leave that for the interview. Also, we have the second guest is Ron Clements. He's a tremendous get there. And I know, Bubba, you were able to get him at East Carolina. He's a Pirate and a graduate of the university. That was a huge gift for you.
Right. Ron, he has a background writing with the Sporting News. And then also, like you said, he's a fellow Pirate. So that's always nice. But Ron, he made the decision to step down from his job at the Sporting News back this spring and get involved. He was going to take a trip around to all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums, and then it became something so much more than that, and is really having the opportunity to impact a lot of kids, he and his wife, while they're traveling around in an RV. So it's going to be an awesome story as well, and it's an initiative entitled Home Run on Wheels.
I can't wait to get to both those interviews, but I wanted to talk to both of you because I feel lonely. We've had a chance now. It's been a few days, and we've got a lot of positive feedback. First of all, I want to thank all the folks at Professor Cools with Linus and Steve and all the staff there. They were tremendous to us. I'm still getting people walking up to me and definitely texting me different things, and I appreciate all the accolades and things that people said. Have you guys heard anything about the nostalgia party?
Positive feedback. Everybody had a good time. Everybody thought it went well. You know, it seems to me, it's kind of funny. I don't know. It's because I've been so busy this week. It seems like we did that 2 months ago, but it was just this past Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm already ready to do it again. Nothing negative. I mean, that's odd that most of the time when you do something, somebody has something negative to say, and maybe somebody does feel negative about it, but I haven't heard anything negative, so that's a really good thing.
And, Bubba, you're in the western part of the state. I know that you actually had people from the Pirate Club to acknowledge you, so that was really cool.
Yes, Doug Groom, our chapter president with the Charlotte Pirate Club, reached out to me, sent me a very complimentary email thanking us for what we did and said how much he enjoyed watching and listening on Facebook Live. And then and he sent that out to the entire chapter, encouraging others to listen. And then I've had numerous guys that you're going to be hearing from in the after party reach out to me, talk about how awesome last Saturday was and just how much they look forward to hearing these 35, 40 interviews that are going to be released in the coming days.
I was getting ready to say, we had no idea. Kyle, do you remember when we were talking about this? Gosh, this was back in, what, March? I think Kyle and I started talking about it back in March.
Yeah, it was a while back we were talking about doing the nostalgia party.
I told him about my idea, and he loved the idea, and then we kind of collaborated on things that we wanted to do, and then all of a sudden Bubba comes aboard in, what, May, Bubba?
Yes, it was somewhere around then. I don't recall exactly, but I know it was definitely before school got out, because I'd say it was at least the middle to end of May, because I remember contacting players and support staff, coaches, and everyone that were having on the or had on the nostalgia party, and then are already doing interviews or have done interviews with for the after party. So yeah, it's definitely been that long, and it doesn't seem like it because we stayed so busy putting this together, putting this together. But time flies when you're having fun, I suppose.
Yeah, and if anybody that's listened to this hasn't listened to the Nostalgia Party, you can go back and listen to it on Apple, Stitcher, Audio Boom. You can still watch the video on Facebook Live. If you haven't listened to it, it's definitely worth listening to. And if you go watch it on Facebook Live, like our Facebook page, the Sports Objective on Facebook. Like the page. We need to get those numbers up. So go like the page. Go like it now. Like it.
Yeah, please do. I tell you what, we're excited because we have a whole bunch of these players that we're going to play back at the interviews. We have former assistant coaches, and we have administrators. And we've been able to get some other great interviews that we're working on. In fact, can we go ahead and announce, can we make breaking news right now for programming, guys? Is it okay for me to mention it?
That's okay with me.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, Kyle, Bubba, and I are definitely love the magazines that come out every year with all of them, especially Athlon and also with Field. So we decided to actually do a – basically, it's an audio version, if you will, of every conference for FBS, and we're working on a special one for SCS. We're doing Independence. And we also have a one that I'm very proud of as well. We have a North Carolina High School Athletic Association. Well, not a association one, but a preview for the North Carolina High Schools from the West for Bubba, and for the East for David and Kyle. So it's a labor of love, all the stuff we've been doing behind the scenes. But I'm telling you, folks, over the next few months, you're going to be blown away, right?
Yeah, for the National College Football Preview, for the conferences, the guests that we put together, I think some of the listeners are going to be very surprised with some of the people they hear on the Sports Objective podcast.
And they're going to probably think it's people impersonating them, right?
Exactly.
It's really my buddy.
It's amazing the people. Go ahead, David.
No, I was just going to say, that's my buddy John. It's not really.
Yeah, it's amazing the people that, if you ask, will say yes. And what I found amusing is, I won't say some of the people that haven't got back to me, but the people that have said yes to me and the people that haven't got back to me or bothered to respond, it's amazing. But there are people that are in certain positions that are very successful in life, and now you kind of see why. It's because of the way they treat people. They get up to that spot, and they still, David and I and Bubba are nobody, and these people that are really, you know, important in what they do take the time to respond to us and say, yes, we'll do your podcast. And people that, you know, aren't as big time don't get back to you. It's really kind of a weird thing, but it kind of makes you understand and makes you look at why those people became successful in the first place.
Well, I'll tell you what it comes down to, Kyle. I have a theater background, and what it comes down to is my director, Alan Osborne, you know him, Oz, years ago said, there are no small parts. He said, they're small actors. And that's what it is. They're small actors, because anybody that would know anything is that if you have a chance to promote yourself, promote your brand, your product, This particular case, promote ESPN. Let's see, the Pac-12 network, I can say that. The big network. I mean, I'm telling you folks, we're not exaggerating. We are not a hype machine. I told Bubba, I can tell you, I told Bubba and Kyle when we first started talking about these previews, that unless we have these people come on, that we're not going to pretend or say, hey, we're going to have all these people come on. And then,
like David said, we have people coming on from ESPN. We have people coming on from Pac-12 Network. We have head coaches at the FBS level. Yeah. We have ADs at the FBS level. We have all kinds of people coming on the Sports Objective podcast that we're not just pumping it up. These are big-time guests, and we're proud of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of hard work between all three, and I want to thank both of you because there was a period of time when we were able to – where we were just surviving because it was just me. And to have both of you all – I love having a team now, and it actually has been a stress reliever to have both of you guys. So I want to say that publicly on the podcast. I appreciate all that you guys have done. The labor of love, it's definitely that, right? The blood, the sweat, the tears.
Absolutely. And I know I've enjoyed doing it. I know, Bubba, you enjoy doing it. And
oh, of course.
I didn't know if Bubba was falling. Are you taking a nap, Bubba? Are we boring you?
No, I'm going to say I'm very much I'm engaged. I'm locked in, as Coach Cliff Godwin would say.
And we appreciate the compliments, David, and we want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to do the podcast with you.
Well, it's a lot of fun. You guys have been – it's great to have a reacquainted with Kyle after a reunion after many years. And then Bubba, meeting you for the first time. Actually, the first time we ever met in person for the three of us was at the nostalgia party, which is kind of crazy. But here we are. Do you guys have any news? Bubba, actually, you told me today, so Pirate fans we know our newest assistant coach in basketball. I know Steve and I, our friend from Voice of Colors, we actually found out how to pronounce his last name now.
Yes. I was reading an article that Igo put out, and then also I heard that it was is Rocafort and not Rocaforte. So our apologies there for mispronouncing coach's name, but very excited to have him on Coach Dooley's staff. And he's certainly hit the ground running, as he's already offered a former, or not a former, but a Charlotte transfer, 6'2", combo guard, and can really shoot the basketball. Shot about 40% last year from three at Charlotte. Ryan Murphy, I believe, is his name. Trying to get him to come directly to us rather than JUCO, but and then he's also offered some other kids as well. I believe we offered, I don't recall the names, but we offered 5 or 6 kids in the 2019 class yesterday. So,
isn't it funny isn't it funny, Kyle, how we had everybody was worried about what are we going to do? Dooley's not naming all his coaches, and he doesn't even have a single he doesn't even have one head coach or one assistant coach rather. And look at this. I just have to give a shout out. Everybody knows how much I love Dooley, but he's really wowed me with the assistant coach's hires that he has.
The staff's really good. It's as good as any staff in the American. It's a legit staff. If Dooley can keep the staff together, that's the big thing for me, if he can keep it together. 3 years from now, we should be in the best shape we've ever been in basketball. I mean,
and that's not an exaggeration, yeah.
No, it's just because the staff, when you have this kind of staff, you're going to be successful. I mean, it's just how it is, because they can recruit, they can develop players, and they can coach on the court. And so it's just a matter of time if they can keep them together. That's going to be Joe Dooley's biggest challenge right now, is to keep the staff together. And he's going to need the support for whoever the AD ends up being. He's going to need the support financially to make sure we can keep the staff together.
Well, hopefully we can do that. And I wanted to ask you guys, have you heard any more about the AD situation? Are you hearing anything?
Nothing. We had the Board of Trustees meeting. Nobody stopped talking to us, heard what the meeting was about. And we're, 3 or 4 days since that meeting?
Actually, I know what it's about.
do you?
I saved it for the podcast. Yeah, it's actually they're deciding whether or not to ban Kyle from LaGrange Barber from being on campus. So that's what.
I wonder what the decision was. They haven't got. No news is good news. They haven't told me, so I guess I can still go on campus.
Well, you're in Tennessee right now in Gatlinburg, and so they're waiting until you get back.
Now, was this complaints from Cecil, or was it from co-eds?
Cecil, actually.
Okay, well, the co-eds want me there. That's good.
What do you think, Bubba? Should we keep Kyle? We're going to have to ban him from the podcast.
Let's keep him. Let's keep him.
All right, we'll keep him. We'll keep him at least this week. We got to have.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Also,
until we get some type of hard evidence.
I was going to make a joke, but I won't do it.
Yeah. Bad choice of words there on my part, but
that's not even the joke I was going to make.
Okay.
We're having way too much fun. Let's get to before we get in trouble and before we lose our podcast license. Let's bring in Brian Kane, and I know Bubba, you reached out to him, and what a tremendous guy. I had a chance to sit down with him recently, and let's go to that interview right now. Well, in sports, there is always a lot of competitive advantages. In fact, right now we have a very special guest with us, an author, and definitely I know he knows a lot about getting that edge when it comes to sports, and that's Brian Kane. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Wanted to bring you on because I know you're author of a couple books. You actually work with teams when it comes to, I guess, not only working together, but also getting that advantage. And can you tell us, how did you get started in the business and tell folks what you do?
Yeah, so by trade, I'm a peak mental performance coach, which is another term for sports psychology. But when you think about the field of sports psychology, there's really two paths. There's the path of, clinical sports psychology, where you're working with the drug and alcohol addiction disorders. You're working with grieving. You're working with your classical clinical issues that athletes have to deal with just like everyday population. But working with athletes, they have other demands and things. So the clinical sports psychology, that's not what I do. I do the performance-related aspect of sports psychology, which is what I call peak mental performance. It's helping baseball players to compete one pitch at a time. If you watch the home run derby, you'll see there's actually three players out of the eight. Ironically, they're participating in the Major League Baseball home run derby tonight. And Max Muncy, Alex Bregman, and Kyle Schwarber. I had all three of those players when they were in college. Schwarber and Bregman with Team USA, the college national team, right there in Cary near you guys in 2013,
right.
And had Max Muncy at Baylor. And, so tonight, if you watch, you'll see them step out of the batter's box. They'll look at a spot on their bat. They'll take a deep breath. And they'll get in the batter's box with a calm and a presence that you try to create as a baseball player to go one pitch at a time. Or if you were a golfer, you would be going one shot at a time. So it's really working on routines. It's working on habits. It's working on mindset. But I also do a lot of, call it executive coaching. Cliff Godwin, who's the head baseball coach there at East Carolina, has been a good friend and a client of mine since his time at Ole Miss in 2010. And, we work a lot on leadership, and we work on, creating the right culture in the program that he wants. And, as a college baseball coach, you're going to get pulled in so many directions: recruiting, strength and conditioning, fundraising, facility improvement, not to mention that you have to go out and call pitches during a game and you have to prepare a team to go out there and compete. So what I do for a college baseball coach like Cliff Godwin would be probably easily understood to say, he has a strength and conditioning coach that helps build his athletes physically. He has a peak mental performance, or what you can call a mental conditioning coach, in me to help him create a mental game plan for his athletes to be able to focus better, to have a better mindset, to have a better culture within their locker room, and to be able to better compete one pitch at a time.
Brian, that's very cool. I didn't know that. I think the world of Cliff Godwin, of course, graduate of East Carolina and a great player and a tremendous coach. And I wanted to ask you, I know that the best athletes and the best people, period, when it comes to if it's a CEO, different people have coaches. And I wanted to ask you, as far as Cliff Godwin with the program, he's taking it to big heights, and we're so close to making it to the College World Series. something like having you on the team, so to speak, could be the difference of making it to Omaha or not making it to the College World Series?
Well, you know, it's interesting. My mentor was a gentleman named Dr. Ken Revisa, and unfortunately, Ken Revisa passed away here on July 8th, very recently. And, you know, Ken would always say, he would say, Brian, what we do with peak mental performance is just another piece of the pie. And there's so many pieces of the pie when you look at creating a program to get to Omaha and then to win in Omaha. And I've been fortunate that some of the teams I work with, Cal State Fullerton, Vanderbilt, Coastal Carolina, Oregon State, have had a chance to go there and have success. You know, Florida State softball just won a national championship, and Yale lacrosse just won a national championship. And I can tell you that every program that I get to be a part of, they all have certain things that make them special. And I will tell you that it will not be long before Cliff Godwin takes his alma mater to the College World Series and they win. Because when I look at college coaches across the board and how they run their programs and all the different elements of their program, from competitive practice to support that they give to their athletes around academics, I will tell you that Cliff Godwin is as good, if not the best, and not just one of those areas, but in all of those areas. And, you know, there's no secret as to this guy is going to be touted every job that comes up, whether it was Mississippi State, whether it was Alabama twice, he's going to be touted for all of those jobs. And I think the thing that's most impressive to me about Cliff is in a day and age where everyone wants to cover their ass and no one wants to have loyalty and no one wants to have honor and integrity, Cliff Godwin is defined by those words. He's defined by the honor and the commitment that he's made to East Carolina and to Coach Leclaire to get the Pirates to Omaha. And he's been so close that one year at the Super Regional in Lubbock. I think it's Cliff's number one priority in life to help East Carolina get to Omaha. And, you know, it's an honor to call him a friend and to watch him work and see how he builds better young men through the game of baseball there in Greenville.
I appreciate what you're saying, because I like him a lot, because the transparency that he has as a person and also as a professional when it comes to the way that he runs the baseball program. And I'm not saying that because I'm an East Carolina guy. I really like that, even if he was not at my alma mater. I appreciate that because not only a member of the media, but also for the fact, if you want to know what's going on in the program, and also if things are not quite right as far as the team, he's going to take accountability and responsibility because he's the head coach. He's kind of like the CEO, if you will, of the baseball program.
Yeah, there's no question. And he'll be the first one to own the failures and own the lack of success. And he'd be the first one to project any success that they get in the program to the players, because he's that type of leader. He's that type of person. He is selfless. He lived their core values of Pirates. It's not just something that's on a wall like it is in many programs. It's something that he lives. He teaches it and models it every day. And, you know, of all the coaches in college baseball, and all the coaches and administrators and all of college athletics, and I work with a ton of them, I would tell you that you guys have got one of, if not the best, right there in Greenville. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with Coach Leclaire. You know, you look at Eric Backich, who's at Michigan, and, you know, I've known Eric since 2006, and we worked together at Vanderbilt and then together at Maryland and, you know, at Michigan. And Eric's right there, too. You know, I mean, he's as quality a human as you're going to come across as well. And I think, you know, I'm surprised that they haven't had the success, you know, there that you thought they might, you know, and Cliff's had so much success so fast. But I think a lot of it goes back to Coach Leclaire and just some of the values that he instilled in the guys that played for him. And if people are listening to this and they're in Greenville, you know, he has a book, and I'm disappointed in myself that I can't think of the name of the title of the book right now. Do you know it?
Not offhand. I should know it. Now you put me on the, I should know it off the top of my head, but I don't.
Yeah, I should have it right here. I just moved, and my library is no longer alphabetical. So as I'm in my office looking for it, I don't see it here. But it's, I mean, I read it on the plane flying home the first time I worked with East Carolina. Cliff gave it to me, and I just remember sitting there on the plane crying because of the type of man that Coach Leclaire was. I have it right here. It's called Coaching Third. The Keith Leclaire Story by Bethany Bradshaw. And it's a book.
Okay.
As I open it up right now, I mean, the whole thing is underlined and highlighted, and It's something that if you're an East Carolina Pirate and you're in that community and you want to read about a man that has left a legacy, I would highly, highly encourage you to pick up Coaching Third, the story of Keith LeClair. It's fascinating.
He actually, Keith LeClair was here when I started out in radio. He got the job. I want to say it was February of 98 that he did his first interview with the station I was working on at the time. And listening to him talk, he was talking about Omaha. And back then, we knew what Omaha was, but it was kind of like conceptual. It was not something more like to use the term pipe dream, but that's what it was. And he made a see right then and there, because of the person he was, that it was reality. And I think Cliff has modeled a lot of himself personally and professionally that very way of LeClair, that he had been a tremendous recruiter, tremendous person. He was well thought of in the community. He spoke a lot of events and church groups. I saw him a couple times there. And to see him go down so fast with ALS was unbelievable, to say the very least.
Well, I know there's a quote when you walk into the team room at East Carolina, and I would encourage you and the other people listening to this and the fans of East Carolina baseball at the right time to be able to stop by there and just see the classroom that these guys meet in there, you know, and see how they have their core values on the wall and see how they use that classroom to not just teach the game of baseball, but to teach life and to make these people and the students, athletes, they're better people and better students and better men. And then you get a better player because of that and through that process. And one of the quotes that's on there, there's a picture of Coach LeClair. I believe it's the same picture that's on the cover of the book. And it says, if you're going to sign your name to it, it better be your best work. And I think that defines Cliff Godwin. That Cliff Godwin is, if he's going to do anything, right, it's going to be his best work. And how you do anything is how you do everything. And I think that's what you're seeing there in Greenville, and I think that's why they've been able to have so much success so fast.
I had a question for you. I know that you know both teams very well with Wilmington and East Carolina, but when that regional happened and the Sunday night game, the nine-hour rain delay that happened, and East Carolina starts off so strong, and then they have the crazy inning there. Are there different things that you talk about with a team? Do you break down the games with the team or the coaches and say different mental aspects of the game that they could tweak to help them through that was just a crazy, a bizarre, I mean, you can't control the weather, obviously, in baseball, but are there things you can do to kind of keep yourself focused on the game and not get yourself way out of whack, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it's constantly how you talk to yourself instead of listening to yourself. And as athletes, you know, we want to listen to ourselves, and you'll hear that voice inside of your head that will say, oh, here we go again, right? And anytime you're saying, here we go again, that is a major red light that you're not going to play well. And my mentor, Ken Revizzo, would always say, he says, if you're saying, here we go again, you got 1 foot in the past, you got 1 foot in the future, and you're going to the bathroom all over the present, you know, and when you're talking about athletics, like, you're never going to be perfect. You just have to be present, and you have to talk to yourself back to winning the next pitch and really learning to compete one pitch at a time. And, you know, that's not something that you're going to teach them in a regional. That's something that they're learning, you know, when they show up in August. And that's something that we work on all year. And if you watch the way that East Carolina will inter-squad, you know, and if you've not ever dug into what they call their process-based scrimmage, where if you look at watch a scrimmage, it's the end of the second inning, and it might say 1-0 in the runs column, but it's going to say 52-45 in the hits column. And everybody would look at that and go, well, what is that? That's teaching the guys how to compete one pitch at a time. It's giving points for of strike one. It's giving points for a guy running hard to first base. It's giving points for them playing the game of baseball within the process that Cliff wants them to play. And if they do that, they give themselves the best chance for success. Right? But you do not control the outcome in baseball. You participate in it.
Can you apply that the very same things? Do you work with, I know about baseball, what about with, for example, we're rebuilding in both basketball, as you probably know, and in football. Are those sports that you work with as well?
They are actually in basketball. A guy who's out in your area, if you remember from Duke, a guy by the name of Steve Wojciechowski. Wojo.
Oh yeah.
Is now the head basketball coach at Marquette, and I'm going into year two with Wojo. So we have a one play at a time process that we use there. And East Carolina football, I know the program well. I was with Chad Morris, the head football coach at SMU the last 3 years, and now the head football coach at Arkansas. So I spent more time with SMU football over the last 3 years than any other program in the country. I was living in Dallas, and obviously football can make a bigger financial investment into a program than other sports. And it was amazing to see that the process, whether it be one pitch at a time, whether it be one play at a time in football or one possession at a time in basketball, is really the same when you're talking about creating the right environment and a culture for 18 to 22 year old men to grow and to develop. And if you create the right culture, then better people make better athletes, right? Or we would say better people make better pirates. And if you have better people, they're going to become better baseball players. Now, when you get into the nitty gritty and the X's and O's of how you put the system in play on the field, baseball and football are going to be a lot more alike, because there's going to be a pitch and then there's going to be a pause. Right, there's going to be a 4 to 6 second football play. There's going to be a whistle. There's going to be 30 seconds until the ball is snapped again. Where in basketball, it's go, 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 and you go from offense to defense so quickly. So like basketball, soccer, lacrosse, those are sports that are much more similar, where I would take like golf, volleyball, football, baseball, softball, and put them into a different kind of category just in the way that the game is played. But ultimately, what it comes down to is it's coming down to trying to create three, what I call the three P's of peak performance for your athletes. And those three P's are, can you be in the present moment? Can you stay to your process? And can you stay positive? Present, process, positive. It doesn't matter the sport. It doesn't matter the profession. It doesn't matter if you're a CEO of Burton Snowboards or your high school softball coach who's trying to win an Alabama state championship. If you can get the people you lead to live in the present, to focus on your process and be positive, you got a shot. But then obviously you get into the depth of what's going to take me out of the present moment. Is it a drop fly ball in a regional or a drop fly ball in a College World Series? Is it an umpire's bad call? At different points, you are able to elevate your ability to stay in the present amongst adversity. And as my friends in the Navy SEAL community are always telling me, they say, Brian, look, you don't rise to the occasion. You sink to your training and habits. And the better we can get with our training and habits around being present, having a detailed process that we believe will get us results, and on staying positive, we got a better chance for success.
I wanted to ask you, Brian, with our football program, for example, is obviously is our biggest sport at East Carolina. We've had 2-3-9 campaigns the last two seasons. I know there's a lot of thing mentally going on there, I think, a lot where – you get used to losing, right? I mean, and I had a coach in high school in baseball. He said, when you get tired of losing, you find a way to win. What would you say if you had for a situation with a sport where they're underperforming and they're going 3-9 when the fans are used to like 7, 8, maybe 9 wins in a season?
Yeah. I'd say we got a good problem that we want to take head on, and I would say that on that staff there at East Carolina, they've actually hired an assistant coach for safeties by the name of Derek Riley.
Right.
And I had the privilege of working with Derek at SMU for the last couple of years, So I would suggest reach out to Derek and see, what difference having someone around peak mental performance can make in a football program. Because I'm a free agent, man, I'm available. I work with East Carolina baseball. I'd love to get in there with the football program and help them, help them to rebuild that and Coach Montgomery to rebuild that. And, I think what you have to look at it is this, there's a stigma around sports psychology and it's going away. It's better than it's ever been. But a lot of coaches think, well, I do that. Or they think if my players need that, they're soft. And what they don't understand is that it's another tool and another resource for you to give your players to help them to be their best. And if you're a coach, and if you're an athletic director, have you guys hired an athletic director yet?
No, we haven't. We have Dave Hart, the special advisor, the former athletic director. He's a special advisor to the chancellor for athletics, but we don't have, right now, we don't have an athletic director, so to speak.
And if you're, you know, and it, so if you're a head coach, if you're an athletic director, I think you have to look in the mirror and you have to ask yourself, are we giving our coaches and athletes the best chance for success? And if you look at, we have strength and conditioning coaches, we have sports nutrition people that educate and work with our athletes. What are we doing around peak mental performance, character, leadership? And most places are saying, well, that's the coach's job. Well, it's part of the coach's job, but the coach is also recruiting, he's game planning, he's, you know, talking with alumni, he's fundraising, he's working at a facility. The coach has got a lot of other things going on. And there might not be anything more important to support that coach with than someone who can focus on peak mental performance with the assistant coaches and with the athletes. I mean, to put it in perspective for you, Nick Saban has multiple people that fill that role with Alabama football, from Dr. Kevin Elko to Trevor Moad. And Trevor's also worked with, you know, Jimbo Fisher when he was at Florida State. Trevor works with Russell Wilson personally, the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. You know, he also brings in a gentleman by the name of Lonnie Rosen, who is a more clinical sports psychologist that he got involved with at Michigan State. So Coach Saban gets it, man. Coach Saban understands there's a process to lead to a result. We don't get a result by focusing on the result. We get a result by creating a process. And I think it also comes down to take a line from Shark Tank, because it's so true, is people, process, product. If you have the right people and you create the right process, you're going to get the right product. And sometimes the right people are adding other pieces to the puzzle that, if you think about it, right, if you look at what Coach Morris did at SMU, and they're competing with East Carolina and right. In the same conference, you know, and you look at it and say, well, if SMU has a peak mental performance coach that's in there working with their team for 50 days a year, why don't we?
That's a very good question, and it definitely could be the difference, again, of our particular case where you have three wins, and maybe having a guy like you come in would be the difference where we can get back on track to go to a bowl, and then we want, obviously, to win conference championships and,
sure.
And go from there.
Sure. I'm not sure if it's the difference, but I can tell you that it will make a difference. There's no question in my mind that it will make a difference. All you got to do is ask the most successful coach on your campus right now, and Cliff Godwin, and ask him the difference that our work together makes. You know, and look at the national championships of Oregon State and Florida State softball and Yale lacrosse. You know, it makes a difference. It's not the difference, but it's definitely a difference. And I think when you're talking about college football at that level, right, in the conference, the American Athletic Conference, it should be the Power Six. It's a great conference. And if you look at football games at that level, okay, or you look at a baseball game at that level, you could say that most of the games that we play in football are going to come down to three or four plays. And we never know when those three or four plays are going to be, so we have to play them all as if they're going to be that play. And if your one play at a time process is not as detailed and not as practiced as it could be, you are not giving yourself the best chance for success.
Right. In fact, in media, we have, when I was working in Raleigh, there was a plaque we had up there that said, make every word count. When you're doing news radio, when you're doing any kind of broadcasting, make every word count. In other words, it's not going to be where you just have a whole bunch of garbage out there with words. So you make every single word count. So I can really get that even in the broadcasting sentence, the same thing where you're talking about sports.
And it's plays. You know, I mean, just look at Alabama-Auburn a couple of years ago on the kickoff that was returned back for a touchdown. Look at Arkansas-Oregon State this year in the College World Series. It was a pitch. It was a fly ball, right? And everyone looks at the dropped fly ball in the ninth inning of game two as the turning point. But you know what? Hey, man, if you look at two or three other pitches in that game, that dropped fly ball maybe isn't such a big deal because they have a bigger cushion. Or once the guy got the base hit to tie the run, the other guy still had to come up and hit the home run to put them ahead, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, that very thing, again, look at the we were talking about the not to pick on Cliff because it hurts. I know probably still for him, but that one inning was a difference in finishing off your season where we just couldn't get that last out. And you think that you're going to be okay, and one inning, one pitch, one out, as a difference between your season going on and your season ending?
Yeah, and you go back even to not to throw salt in the wound here, but you go back to Lubbock, right, to the Super Regional,
yeah.
Which I was there for Game 2 and Game 3, so I accept responsibility for us not getting it done there, because if I was there and we didn't win, but I wasn't there Game 1 and they won, it's obviously my fault, so I'm going to own that. But, you know, there were times where, man, they were just one base hit away, just
right.
One pitch away. You know, and you look at TCU, I mean, TCU's been a client of mine now since 2006, TCU baseball. They're my longest standing client. And everyone sees, you know, the four straight trips to the College World Series. What they don't see is they don't see 1 year they had to go 11 innings with Siena, and then they come back the next night and they play 22 innings with Sam Houston State. And if they lose that game to Sam Houston State, which we should have, there was a call that probably wasn't that went for us, which probably shouldn't have, that would have been the turning point in the game in maybe the 20th inning. But if we lose that game, we don't have the pitching to come back and win another three games.
Right.
You know, and then you look at the next year where they're playing NC State, another team down there, you know, near you. And NC State, I think, was up 8-1 in the eighth inning in an elimination game in a regional, and TCU came back and won. So, like, you know, nobody – You just look at how close the parity is in college baseball. It's amazing just how close everybody is.
I wanted to ask you about your books. Can you tell everybody your books? I don't have them written down right here near me, but I definitely want to read them myself. I'm very fascinated by your work, and that's why we wanted to have you on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, so if you just go to Amazon and type in Brian Cain, BrianCain, you can see I've got close to 40 books that are on there. And, you know, one series of those books is like what I would call your mental game of, right? So there's the mental game of basketball, the mental game of volleyball, the mental game of soccer, of football, the mental conditioning for softball, mental conditioning for baseball. So these are very technical, very specific. If you are a coach or you are an athlete and you're looking to get an edge in that specific sport, pick up that book on Amazon. If you're, you know, a CEO, if you're just someone who wants to improve your position in life and work to continue to be the best version of yourself, I would 100% recommend starting with my fictional novel called The 12 Pillars of Peak Performance. And what I would like to do is I will send you a link to a copy of my audiobook, The 12 Pillars of Peak Performance, that's in it's on YouTube, and I'll send that to you. You can post it with the show notes here, and then our listeners can be able to just go and listen to that book on the 12 Pillars of Peak Performance. And if they're interested and they like it, the story continues past that book, and they can check those out on Amazon as well.
That's fantastic. I was going to say, when you're here in Greenville again, I know the guys, we'd love to definitely meet you, and definitely any way we can help you out, certainly we'd love to do that. And I hope that the coaches at East Carolina will jump on the chance to get whatever we can do to get every single sport. Before I die, I would love to see that's very difficult to do, but every single sport to be very successful at the highest level. And I appreciate you, Brian, very much. It means a lot. I know that you've spent a lot of time with us. It means a lot that you are on with us tonight, and hopefully you'll come back and be a guest again.
I would be honored to come back. You know, I think I've really enjoyed my time in Greenville, you know, at East Carolina. I think you guys have one of the most cool athletic campuses around. You know, I think the fan base there, whether it be in the jungle or be out tailgating before a football game, I mean, the fan base that you have there is as close to the SEC without being the SEC that you can find. You know, I mean, it's as loyal and as committed a fan base as you're going to find. And, you know, obviously you got to win to continue to feed that fan base, but it's there. And there's opportunities for greatness in Greenville, but it comes down to people, process, and product. And if we get the right people on campus and we get the right people who create the right process with the right leadership and the right culture and the right way to build better young people, better young men and young women through athletics, we're going to win more. There's a process there. There's a pathway there. And the most successful sports team in the world is the New Zealand All Blacks, the rugby team of the country of New Zealand. And one of their key fundamental philosophies is that better people make better All Blacks. Better people make better Pirates. And if we want to win championships, we first have to develop champions. And that happens on a day-to-day basis.
Wow. Thank you, Brian. That was awesome. And definitely, again, we'll have you back. Maybe we can have you back before baseball season for sure. I'd love to have you back on.
Oh, I would love that. I think something that would be unique, you know, in the podcasting world would be to do something with Cliff, myself, and a couple of his players that have been through the program for a while, to have them talk about what one pitch at a time means to them, to have them talk about how they give themselves the best chance for success and the difference that our work has made, not only for them on the field at winning pitches, but also when we talk about winning in the classroom and winning in life.
I tell you what, I'm like Cliff Godwin. Anytime, anywhere, any place, love having you on as a guest. You name it, we'll be there. I'll make it happen.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. And if anybody would like to continue the conversation, they can always reach me at briankane.com, or they can check me out on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. It's at Brian Kane Peak, BrianCain.
Well, guys, that was, wow, what an interview. I was really blown away by Brian Kane. He was actually, I know that he is employed by Cliff Godwin, and I know that he has more than one, but he really believes in Cliff. I mean, he thinks that Cliff is very close to Omaha. He is doing everything he can. He was there in 2016 for at Texas Tech in Lubbock. I mean, he really surprised me. I knew he was going to be good, but he was way better than what I expected.
Yeah, I'm going to say a few things stood out to me about that interview. I'm going to say, first of all, like you said, it was evident how knowledgeable he was about East Carolina, even going back past Cliff's time. He is talking about reading Coaching Third, Coach Claire's book that he co-wrote with Bethany Bratcher, and just how good that was, and he read it on the flight back after one of his trips to Greenville. So that stood out. And then when he was talking about the three P's as far as staying in the present and then also and sticking with the process and then being positive. Those three P's, that's something that can help people be successful in any walk of life, athlete or not. So those really stood out for me.
And by the way, he actually gave us a link, and we need to put that. Can we put that up on our Facebook page, Bubba?
We'll definitely get that done.
He gave us, by the way, for those people, that was it 12 Pillars of Strength he put up there, and I want to make sure that fans post to listen to the podcast. I've listened to it a couple times already, and it is tremendous. He's giving you a free opportunity, a free listen that he had on YouTube, and we'll give you that link, and we'll put that link up on our Facebook page. Another reason to go like us, we're giving you a free audiobook. I mean, how many podcasts give you something free, right? Like something, an offer. We're doing that right now for you.
That's right. If you want the free audiobook, go like our Facebook page, The Sports Objective on Facebook. Go like it, and we'll post the link up there to get your free audiobook.
And you can follow us, by the way, at The Sports OBJ. It's that easy, and we'll definitely would love to, and we'll follow you back if you're on Twitter. We'd love to do that. All right, next up, so to speak, is the batter up. We'll go to Ron Clements, and I know Bubba, he was such a tremendous person to talk to. I love the fact he's a Pirate, and talk about how did you come about asking him to come on the podcast?
I became aware of Ron a couple years ago, probably when Clip Rock on Pirate Radio 1250, his show, The Sports Bar, 3 to 5 every weekday. Ron
Great
was on
show,
there.
By the way, I listen to it every day.
Yeah, as do I. Clip does an excellent job. He's a very funny guy. I've never actually met him in person, exchanged a few messages with him via email and that kind of thing. But he's a very funny guy. I would like to meet him sometime. But yeah, Clip had Ron on, and Ron was talking Major League Baseball, and I think more than baseball, he at that time his focus was the NFL. He had been the beat writer for the St. Louis Rams, used to live out there, of course, and then has covered NFL at large, and so he's very knowledgeable when it comes to the National Football League, and like we said earlier, he decided to step down from that sporting news job as a sports writer there, and
and go around to all 30 Major League Baseball parks, and then that's what I'll let him tell the rest of the story to you. But it's very, very awesome how he gets the foster system and doing things for foster kids where they can attend these Major League Baseball stadiums and go to games that they wouldn't otherwise get to. It's an awesome story. It's called Home Run on Wheels.
And let's go to that interview right now. With us now on the Sports Objective Podcast is Ron Clements, the ECU alum, and obviously has a big initiative going on now. I love his website, homerunonwheels.com. Ron, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Dave.
Wanted to have you on. I love what you're doing, and I love that you're obviously a Pirate, but we'll talk about that at another time, or certainly a little bit. But I wanted to ask you about the thing you've got going on with Home Run on Wheels.
Well, we're traveling to all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums in an RV, traveling the country. We've been through a lot of states, and we've been able to get five teams so far to donate tickets to foster care organizations in their respective communities. The Miami Marlins donated 40 tickets to an organization in Miami for opening day called Our Kids of Miami-Dade. The Detroit Tigers donated 20 tickets to the Student Advocacy Center of Michigan for the June 13th game against the Twins. The Brewers donated 50 tickets, that's a 5 and a 0, to A New Family Services in Wisconsin for the June 21st game against the Cardinals. And then the Minnesota Twins and Colorado Rockies each donated 30 tickets for the July 7th and July 11th games, respectively. So, it's been nice to be able to get some kids out to games. And one really cool thing at Coors Field was the game we were at, the Rockies beat the Diamondbacks 19-2, and Germán Márquez, one of the Rockies pitchers, hit a home run, his first career home run. But one of the kids from the organization, Lutheran Family Services Rocky Mountains, one of the kids from that organization actually got Marquez's home run ball, which was really neat.
Wow. And, you know, that's a great thing. I know that a lot of people are excited. I know, how did this all – tell everybody, let's give the backstory. How did this all come about to do such a great initiative with the Home Run on Wheels?
Well, it didn't start out that way, let me tell you that. My wife, 14 months ago, started a new job that was 100% remote. She's an IT project manager. And she started that job in May of 2017. In July, she stepped out of the office at her house in Charlotte. We were living in Charlotte at the time. And said, you know, I could do this anywhere. Now, her house in St. Louis that she had, because we used to live in St. Louis, her house in St. Louis was on the market. It ended up selling. The closing date was September 1st. And then we were renting the house in Charlotte. So once we knew her house was going to sell, there was really nothing that was going to keep us anywhere, you know? And when she said that I could do this anywhere last July, we were just kicking around travel ideas. And a baseball trip came up. And it was just like, heck, let's do it. We'll get an RV and we'll just go. And then a couple months later in September, we had dinner with a woman named Celeste Dominguez. And Celeste is the CEO of Children's Hope Alliance, which is a foster care organization in North Carolina that has about 13 offices around the state. It's headquartered in Troutman. But we had dinner with Celeste, and Celeste made the comment, it'd be cool if you could take some kids to a game. And then it was like, boom, the light bulb went off. And from there, it just kind of snowballed to where we are. And we got the Children's Hope Alliance logo and the Home Run on Wheels logo on the RV. It's wrapped. Children's Hope Alliance took care of that for us. And it's been a fun trip, and it's pretty rewarding too when you see the kids who probably otherwise would not be able to get a chance to go to a Major League Baseball game be at a Major League Baseball stadium, and it's really cool.
What are there some stories that you can tell that have happened so far that on this journey around the country, especially with dealing with the kids?
Well, there was one little boy in Milwaukee. We were up in the 400 level, but he was like really into the game. He's like 4 years old. I'd never been to a game before, and he's shouting like he's behind home plate. It was really cool. But I think the coolest moment though is when we were going through North Carolina. And Children's Hope Alliance, obviously, there are no Major League Baseball teams in North Carolina, but we were able to get some kids to minor league games there. We got 20 tickets from the Greensboro Grasshoppers and 60 tickets from the Durham Bulls. And when we were in Durham in early April, there was a little girl who was sitting right behind us in the outfield. Her name is Heaven. She was 9 years old, and she had never been to a baseball game before. And she told her foster mom that, because she's asking all these questions about baseball. And then she says, "I've never been to a baseball game before." And I leaned over to my wife, and I was like, "Did you hear that?" And my eyes are like welling up, because that's exactly why we're doing what we're doing, to get these kids an opportunity they might not otherwise be able to have.
I know it's been a tremendous experience. That ballpark in Durham, I haven't been to.
That's really cool.
It's really a great place. That's my hometown, so I'll give them a shout out there for DBAP. In fact, that ballpark, a lot of people in Durham back in the 90s thought that was a terrible idea, terrible neighborhood at the time. And not only the ballpark, but Jim Goodman of Capital Broadcasting, that owns the team, the American Tobacco Company, with the tradition of having tobacco back in the day with Durham. They've done an excellent job with that ballpark and surrounding the ballpark as well.
And that area right there is really neat. You mentioned American Tobacco and what they've done with that that restaurant district is neat. I went in there. I have a cousin who lives in Apex, and her husband works in Durham, and he works at one of the buildings that's right there in Wright Field.
Oh,
and,
wow.
So he actually took me up into his office, and we watched batting practice from his office balcony, just overlooking the stadium. That was kind of neat.
It really
and
has.
Before the game, I actually interviewed Jake Bowers, who has since been called up by the Rays. He was on our podcast, the Home Run on Wheels podcast. So we've been able to get some big league players on the podcast. Hasn't happened, though, since Jake Bowers. But I knocked out a lot of interviews during spring training. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get anybody on during the regular season, because I guess the rules are a little bit different during the regular season, because I don't have any media affiliation behind me anymore. I used to work at Sporting News as an NFL reporter, but I left my job actually to do this trip.
Wanted to ask you about you. That was a nice segue there, Ron. I want to ask you about the you're a pro. You're a pro. Wanted to ask you about the podcast. I'm very interested. I saw the website and the podcast. I can't wait to subscribe and listen to it. And can you tell us about that? I take it it's geared towards your initiative. And what other surprises can our listeners, that hopefully they'll be your listeners as well?
Oh, so we launched a podcast on March 12th. And it's not just about our initiative. I mean, we do talk a lot of baseball. And like I say, we have had Major League Baseball players on the podcast. We had Jordan Schaefer, Marcelo Zuna, and Luke Gregerson of the Cardinals, Jameson Taillon, Chad Kuhl, Josh Bell of the Pirates, Chris Archer and the aforementioned Jake Bowers of the Rays, Daniel Norris of the Detroit Tigers. And I think I'm probably forgetting somebody. But so there is baseball. We had Derek Gould, the St. Louis Cardinals beat reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, he was on the podcast. We've also interviewed people from these organizations who get the tickets. So our first guest was Celeste Dominguez, the CEO of Children's Hope Alliance. And we've had Matthew Raisler of Anew Family Services, that's the organization in Wisconsin. Mary Lenick of Family Alternatives in Minnesota. Interviewed three women with Lutheran Family Services, Rocky Mountains. So those are the kinds of things we're trying to do. So we're talking about our initiative to raise awareness of the needs of kids in the foster system, but we're also talking baseball. And I mean, when we stopped in Yellowstone during the All-Star break, we did an episode on our experiences at Yellowstone, which is amazing, by the way. I mean, words and pictures can't do Yellowstone National Park justice. It's something you got to see.
I was going to say, Ron, that I love to travel, and I have always, you're actually living one of my dreams, and I am a huge baseball fan. I come from a baseball family. My great uncle, Roger Gregg, was a manager of the Giants and pitching coach for the Detroit Tigers. He
my grandma and him were brother and sister. But anyway, he's a huge part of my life, and I love baseball because of him. And to see what you're doing is tremendous, because I've always wanted to go to every single ballpark. So I think that's really neat in itself. And then from there, you're doing something to really give back. That's tremendous.
Thank you. And like I said before, it did start out what you just kind of said. It started out as a bucket list trip, but then it just kind of through happenstance just kind of grew into this bigger thing. And you know, when we, Celeste actually asked us if we could meet up for dinner back in September. It wasn't like we reached out to her to say, hey, let's do something with foster kids. That's not how it happened at all. It was just friends getting together. We hadn't seen Celeste in a couple months. And so we're getting together with her for dinner, but then boom, that she asked what we've been up to, you know, like what's new. And we were like, oh, well, listen to what we're going to do next year. And it just kind of, you know, went from there to now. Yeah, we are. It did turn into something a bit magnanimous, and we're proud of it. We've gotten from those five teams, those five Major League Baseball teams, 170 donated tickets, and then you throw in the 80 that Children's Hope Alliance got from the Greensboro Grasshoppers and Durham Bulls, and that's 250 tickets. So not all of those are for kids, because there are, you know, like foster parents and adults from those organizations who are also going to the game. But I would say of those 250 tickets, we've probably been able to get 180 to 200 kids out to professional baseball games, which is really cool.
Wanted to ask you about, certainly with you're a very smart guy. You went to the right university, East Carolina, but even more than that, and from now you you have this great initiative. Where do you see this going? You seem like a guy that has a big vision. Where's this going for the Home Run Initiative?
Well, I'm writing a book. I'm in the process of doing that, kind of chronicling our trip. I will say it's tough to find the time to write. Just a few days ago, I made the commitment to myself. I'm going to do 1,000 words a day. And, it is hard. I'm like, when we went from Denver to Yellowstone, that's like a 9-10 hour drive in the RV. And so that sucks up an entire day. And then you're exhausted. And even going from Yellowstone to Seattle while we broke it up, going to Missoula, Montana and Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, you're still talking about 4 or 5 hours a day of driving. So it is hard to find the time to write, but I'm trying to do that. And so, yeah, there should be a Home Run on Wheels book coming out of this. And we don't have any, like, sponsors. We're not getting any money from anybody for doing this trip. It's just the fact that we have the ability to work remotely, and that's what we're doing. And I have been able to publish some NFL stuff to my own website, ronclementsports.com. It was funny, when we were in Canada, actually, the Hamilton Tiger Cats had signed Johnny Manziel while we were up there. So I emailed the Tiger Cats. I was like, hey, can I come out? And they were like, sure. And then I did something on the Cleveland Browns, too, during OTAs when we were in Cleveland. Unfortunately, the Bengals and Lions, who both were like, hey, yeah, sure, come on up, their practices were closed when I to the media when I was in those cities. So I wasn't able to do anything on the Lions and Bengals, even though I had planned on it. But I am going to try to hit some training camp sites, so when we're out on the West Coast. So that's kind of like the, as far as outside of Home Run on Wheels or where this is going, I want to try to get as much content to my own website, Ron Clement Sports, as well as work on the book about our own trip.
Wanted to ask you about the NFL. Do you have some thoughts going into, I know training camp is starting up and here pretty soon, and what do you think about the NFL? Is we see a repeat with Tom Brady, another Vince Lombardi trophy with Tom, or do you think we're going to see some other teams that can really make a play at it?
Well, the Eagles are going to be interesting, because you know you want to see how Carson Wentz's knee holds up. They are the champs. We actually stopped in Fargo when we left Minneapolis. We went up to, we took a detour up to Fargo before we went down to Denver. and I saw the Fargo Dome, and I went inside, so I saw where Carson Wentz became a star. But I think until the two number 12s retire, the preseason pick should always be Packers-Patriots for the Super Bowl, because those are the two best quarterbacks in the league, and it is a quarterback-driven league. That said, the Eagles are the team to beat because they are the champs. And if Carson Wentz comes back healthy, that's a darn good team. The NFC West is going to be interesting because the Seahawks completely revamped their roster, and the Niners will be better, but the Rams will be looked at as the team to beat out there. And Sean McVay did an amazing job last year, and so it's kind of like, okay, will a coach have a sophomore slump, or will he just keep it going? I'm still not sold on Jared Goff. I never have been. We'll see. I would love nothing more for Jared Goff to prove me wrong. I know he had a nice year last year, but I'm still not sold that he can do it over a long period of time. He got a lot of help last year. They added a lot of weapons. And Pat Gurley, I know a lot of people thought he should have been the league MVP last year, and very deservingly so. It's going to be interesting. The NFL is, year to year, it's wide open. And you know what? The Cleveland Browns might go 8-8 this year.
Wow.
That is a vastly improved team. You look at the skill position players they have, and it's incredible. They have upgraded, like, every position on that team has been upgraded significantly from last year. And I will say, though, this is a make-or-break year for Hugh Jackson. I mean, he's been given a long, long rope. How many coaches can win one game in two seasons and keep their job?
not many, for sure, especially in college football, is one, for example, of some of the things. And, you know, Ron, when you think about Cleveland, they've got some tremendous fans. And to see them stick by their team with a dog pound and their fans, you would think that Cleveland would have they've had great teams in the past, but here recently they haven't had much to cheer about, right?
No, they haven't. And you want better for that city, because, you know what, Cleveland kind of gets a bad rap as a city, but we had a blast in Cleveland. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame down the road, great restaurants, the waterfront's really pretty. We had a really, really good time in Cleveland. I think Cleveland is a very underrated city. And, like you said, passionate fan base. And I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised with their team this year. They're not going to be a playoff team, because I think the Steelers and Ravens are still going to be too strong in that division. But, that the Browns, though, might go 8-8. I think the Bengals are the clear worst team in that division. And this is probably going to be the last year for Marvin Lewis, because if he doesn't make the playoffs this year, there's another guy who's been given a long, 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 long rope.
Yes.
Here is one thing that I said last year about quarterbacks. I think after the 2018 season, we're going to see a big turnover of quarterbacks. I would not be surprised if this is the final year we are watching Eli Manning, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger.
Wow.
I have a feeling all four might retire at the end of this season. I know Brady says he wants to play until 45 or even longer, but if you look at the history of 40-year-old quarterbacks, and I will bring up two Hall of Famers as an example, Brett Favre and Warren Moon, the year they turned 40 years old, they had phenomenal seasons, just like Tom Brady did last year when he turned 40 years old. Going into their 41st year, it was significantly worse, and it ended up, Warren Moon hung on for a couple years after that, and I think Favre made it, I can't remember if Favre retired after his 41st year or if he played till he was 42, but, their careers were definitely on the downside right after they turned 40, and it was that next season after they turned 40, so I have a feeling you might see Tom Brady slip this year, especially losing a guy like Danny Amendola. He's been kind of one of his security blankets. So, I would never bet against Bill Belichick or Tom Brady, but I think this might be Brady's last year, as well as Rivers, Manning, and Roethlisberger. And can you imagine that if we got four Hall of Fame quarterbacks all hanging it up in the same season?
Well, that doesn't happen every season for sure. And are there teams that are going to make up the playoffs that will be surprised this year? I'll ask you.
I think the Browns, for me, the Browns are going to be the biggest surprise, but they're not going to be a playoff team. I would be extremely surprised if the Browns were a playoff team. I think the Niners could be a playoff team.
Wow. They've gone from way down to maybe they can make it back to the playoffs at least, and definitely not, I don't see them making the Super Bowl, right?
No. I know people are high on Jimmy Garoppolo because he hasn't lost a game as a starter, but it's still such a small sample size. So I want to see what Garoppolo can do over the course of the 16-game season instead of just playing four games at the end of the year or a game here and there as spot duty filling in for Brady.
Yeah, and they have a tremendous coach, so I know it's going to take time to build things in San Francisco to the level that I know that they're capable of.
Yeah, you talk about another passionate fan base. I mean, those are that's a group who was spoiled during the 80s when they were winning four Super Bowls. those people who grew up during that era are, you know, upper 30s, 40s, 50 years old. So, you know, that's what they got used to growing up. And it's just like Packers fans now. I mean, heck, since 1992, the Packers have been a perennial championship contender, and it's a shame they've only won two over that period of time with Favre and Rodgers at quarterback, because that's another fan base that deserves a lot more. And I think I like what Green Bay did in the offseason. So, you know, maybe they can bring the Lombardi Trophy home, as they like to say in Wisconsin.
Wanted to ask you about my favorite team, and I bleed burgundy and gold with the Redskins. Any hope of a team that was good back in the day? Do you see any bright spots for the Skins?
I think they'll finish ahead of the Giants. But I think that's probably about it. I think Dallas and Philadelphia are both, head and shoulders above the other two teams in that division, and it's going to be a two-team race in the NFC East.
Wow. So my favorite term going into Christmas time is that there's always next year. So I guess that's what I'm going to be saying. For Christmas time for the Redskins, they'll be, well, there's it's next year, next year. I wanted to ask you about East Carolina. Do you get a chance to come back to Greenville or to see the Pirates play at all?
I went there 3 years ago, I think, Thanksgiving weekend. It was the last game of the year, and they lost to the Cincinnati Bearcats. I think that might have been Ruffin's last game.
That's correct. That was there, that field goal.
And I think ECU needed to win that to become bowl eligible, right? And they finished 5-7. Yeah. So that was disappointing. That's the last game I went to. I was at Zay Jones's pro day. Man, I hope he can break out this year. But this will be a make or break year for Scotty Montgomery, though. I mean, you know, he's been, they have to win. I think it's probably bowl game or bust for him, because 3-9 in consecutive seasons, that's just not going to cut it.
You know,
although one of those wins is against NC State, so there is that.
Yeah, that's a very big thing. And also, North Carolina is on the schedule this year. You know how that game on September 8th between both fan bases, that's going to be a tremendous game.
I tell you what, since they scored 125 points against UNC in consecutive seasons a few years ago, every time I meet UNC fans as an East Carolina grad, I do talk a lot of crap. So I hope ECU can do it again. Otherwise, I'm gonna get it back. If you dish it, you got to take it, right?
That's right. And we don't have Lincoln Riley that could put those video game numbers like we could in 2013 and 14 against the Tar Heels. Ron,
man,
go ahead.
Oklahoma's being looked at as a national championship contender, and even without Baker Mayfield, and I think it's all because of Lincoln Riley. So I would feel really good for him if Oklahoma were to win it all.
That would be tremendous. We love Rufus out there. You've got Ryan Daugherty's out there, I know, and there's like about four coaches to have East Carolina ties in one way or another, and it's going to be
interesting to see what they can do in Sooner Country. I tell you what, Ron, I appreciate you coming on. I know that you've got a tremendous – can you give your website again? I want to give folks a chance to check that out.
Well, you got Home Run on Wheels to follow our baseball trip, and then RonClementSports.com is my website where, you know, I try to produce as much content as I can while we're on this trip.
I know it's been challenging, kind of like Willie Nelson on the road again. I do that commute every day, so I definitely know about that. And I want folks to make sure they listen to your podcast as well, because subscribe to that. I'm sure it's great. And I'm glad to be able to interview you and find out about that. Another podcast for me to listen to on my commute. And I wish you the best of luck on definitely the trip. I think it's very cool what you're doing, not only for the baseball side of things, but also for the families and the kids. I think that's tremendous. And I hope we can have you back on and see how the rest of the trip went.
I would love it. Thanks, Dave.
Guys, I wanted to spend time with you now that we had – what a great interview. Ron Clements, he actually talking some NFL. We need to – hey, can we add that to our to-do list, Bubba? Can we get an NFL person on? It just inspired me when I was just listening to Ron. We need to – maybe we can get an interview with an NFL preview. I know we don't do a big one. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. I would say, like –
he inspired
like
me. What did you think? He was giving breakdowns of the teams and
yeah,
right there. I thought it was great.
I thought it was very interesting. And then in addition to the NFL look he gave you there toward the latter part of the interview, he also talked about when they were traveling through Canada and he had the opportunity to stop in there, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, I believe it was,
yeah.
And Johnny Manziel's new team. So had the opportunity to do an article with Johnny Manziel, and I think that's on his website as well. I think it's RonClements.com.
Yes, yeah, well, he's tremendous, and he wants to come back on our show, so we must be doing something right, or maybe he feels sorry for us. I don't know. But regardless, we'll take
news,
it.
Guys.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you it. Okay.
The NFL preview, I've got John Madden.
Oh, whoa.
John Madden.
But, now, that would be actually a lie, so we promised you. Yeah.
That would be a lie.
That's
a joke.
Comedic relief
we
there
do.
From Cole.
We do already have someone for the Dolphins, though, in all seriousness.
Yes.
We
have the Panthers.
Yes. And say Steven Igo, and say he's been the 24/7 Panthers site.
Steven listens to the podcast. Steven, will you come on for the Dolphins? He does enjoy listening to our podcast, I know. And thank you, my friend. We love Hoist the Colors. I've been a huge fan for the last couple of years. How long have y'all been on – Friends, listen to me. How long have y'all been fans of Hoist the Colors?
I've been on HTC, oh my goodness, pretty much since the beginning of the site. So I'd have to go back and look and see how long the site's been up. I want to say, has it been up since 2014?
It's been a few years, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm almost positive since 2014.
I think you may be right, Kyle. The 2014 date, somewhere in there.
So since the beginning, I've been up there, and gotten to know Steven a little bit through the site and on Facebook, and great guy. And as y'all mentioned, he also covers the Carolina Panthers. So, we can get him on also to talk a little Carolina Panthers football, as well as the way he always talks about East Carolina.
And I'm working on a few more, so we'll look at that. But I wanted to talk some Pirates. I tell you what, I'm just tickled to death about all the people we've had. It fired me up, you know. We had Montgomery on, and by the way, we haven't even told folks, we've got some other big names that Pirate-wise that are coming on in addition to players, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We have some directly related people to East Carolina and some indirectly related people to East Carolina that are coming on that people will find interesting. And I'm sure, I guess we won't say the other big name. Everybody's heard Coach Montgomery, Coach Dilley. We have another really big Pirate that has interviewed with us, and that podcast will be coming out pretty soon.
That's right. So we're excited about we have former assistant coaches that are coming on, and certainly we can say – can we say assistant ADs? Former assistant ADs?
Former assistant ADs that are current ADs at other places.
I can say that's a hint.
That's right.
So
that will be coming on.
But we're definitely excited about it because You know, I told Bubba, they said, I will say the G-rated version is, if you don't ask, then nobody will come on. So if you know what your results are going to be if you don't ask. So it's kind of like the analogy I'll use is like sailing. If you, for those who are salespeople, they'll know what I'm talking about. If you go out and you're a person that you get really stung by the word no, like we're being rejected, then you're going to have a hard time producing and booking a show like Bubba's done and myself. And Kyle's clutch, man. He's getting some big-time people for us, too. So it's a collaboration for the three of us. But if you actually ask a whole bunch of people out, it's a numbers game, right, guys?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you ask enough people, somebody's going to say yes. It's kind of like, I don't know if anybody watches King of the Hill, Boomhauer takes Bobby to show him how to ask out girls, and Boomhauer's strategy when you take Bobby Hill to the mall is Boomhauer just walks up to every other attractive female. He says, hey, dang on, you know, gossip. And, you know, 1 out of 10 says yes, that's all that matters.
As long as you have one, right?
As long as you got a date Friday night, that's all that counts.
Oh, my, we digress. I wanted to ask your opinions, by the way. I'm going to put you all both on the spot. There was a story that came out this week. We were talking about Cliff Godwin earlier. Love to have his opinion on it. I'm not a fan of it, but college baseball is coming out with a 20-second pitching clock, which I think is ridiculous. I don't know if you guys – I love to put you guys on the spot because y'all are both very smart or I wouldn't do it. Do you guys have an opinion on that?
I hadn't heard about the rules, so we're talking 20 seconds in between pitches. Once the catcher throws it back to the pitcher, he has 20 seconds to pitch?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
That, you know, if you want to put a pitching clock up, okay, 20 seconds seems a little, that's a little
absurd. I'll have to look again on the, from the actual nuances between the time the pitcher, but yes, it's I know it was set a 20-second clock, so I do know that for a fact, and I'll look again, but I wanted to, when I do research, I try to find stuff that's interesting, and that was one that really stuck out for me.
Bubba, what are your thoughts on it? Have you heard about the rule?
I'm going to say, actually, I hadn't. I knew that it had been rumored in recent years and that kind of thing, but I actually had not heard that it was definitely going to be implemented for the 19 season, but I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm all for improving the pace of play, but at the same time, baseball is a game that was originally timeless from the standpoint of having a clock on anything like that, and not a huge fan of it. But to be honest with you guys, 20 seconds is longer than you realize. I'd like to, now I'm curious, I'm going to start breaking out the stopwatch between pitches just to see and just have an idea of how many times that's going to be a true issue. So a lot of times that's what you do have teams like the University of Houston that prefer to slow it down, but then most teams, their pitchers want to work quickly and that kind of thing to keep their defense on their toes and not back on their heels anyway. So it may not be as big of an impact as some people would think.
It's going to hurt strategy a little bit, like you said, for teams that like to work slow. I mean, it's like you said, probably it's not as big of an impact as we think. Well, then why do it? If you're saying most of the time guys aren't spending 20 seconds between pitches, then what's the point of doing it? How is it going to speed the game up?
I think
right.
Go
ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say quickly, I think it's a silly idea because I think the amazing thing to me is that I know that baseball is probably perception is reality that, oh, my God, it's a slow game. Have you guys noticed, and we're both, I know that all three of us love college football, and I love pro football as well. Have you noticed how long college football games alone, how long they take, especially if you're at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium and you watch a game that's on television? Have you noticed how long a college football game is?
A time or two, yes, particularly when we have the lead in the fourth quarter, it's a close game, and I'm watching the clock praying that we get to 0-0-0. Yeah, college football, it is a very long game, but you know what? It's an exciting game, and also it's a lot of big advertisement dollars to be made in college football. So they like extended the game for television advertisements. I think perhaps the reason they're doing this for college baseball is to try to get more national television for the game. That would be my guess. College baseball isn't to the point now where college football is, where it can bring in the ad revenue. And if you could get the games within a 2 to 3 hour time period every game, then my guess is there would be more opportunities for ESPN, et cetera, to air more college baseball games.
I'm surprised they don't say we're just going to shorten the game to 7 innings.
Yeah,
Dave, now that you mentioned that, I'm very curious. I'm going to have to do more research on this. And one of my best friends, Britt Johnson, he's the recruiting coordinator and assistant coach up at Appalachian State, just completed their second year up in Boone. So I'm going to have to talk to him about this and find out more as far as the enforcement. And, like, I guess maybe if pitches are thrown in 20 seconds, then it's a ball. Because, guys, when I think about it, as far as when this could really be an issue, a lot of times sometimes you see, of course, catchers and pitchers may not be able to get on the same page as far as signals. So then, obviously, that's a time where this could come into play.
Right, a little off subject. You said your friend was recruit coordinator at App State.
Does that mean you're less of a pirate because you have a friend that's a Mountaineer?
that's another podcast topic.
on the bright side, that's what he is, an ECU alum, and he was a walk-on deep snapper in the Skip Holtz era. So he's diehard.
All right. Okay,
purple and gold.
How is their conference affiliation, leaving the Sun Belt, joining the Sun Belt? Sun Belt's a great baseball league with the national champion from a couple years ago, Coastal Carolina, now being members, plus perennial powers like Louisiana Lafayette and South Alabama being members of the Sun Belt Conference. How has joining the Sun Belt impacted Appalachian State recruiting in baseball? Has the caliber of player apps been able to recruit gone up? It seems like it would have.
Yeah, it definitely has. Like you said, you know, all those teams you named, the Sun Belt's a heck of a league, and I think the American was fifth this year in the conference RPI, and the Sun Belt, at least at one point, was sixth. So it's a power league in baseball, and there's no doubt because Coastal Carolina, South Alabama, UL Lafayette, and their Troy is very good.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a solid league.
Well, I didn't mean to get off the rails as far as that, but I just thought that was an interesting rule, and I want to learn more about that. I just read that the other day, and I wanted to see what you guys, you guys are, like, amazing, the knowledge y'all have. So I was hoping that now that we can actually study it and do our homework, and then I propose that to you guys. We'll do homework, and the next time we do a podcast, we can – most definitely talk more about it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. That'll be worth researching to see how long it typically is between pitches and to see if that rule will have much of an impact.
I wanted to – what about anything for college football, or is there anything East Carolina football, guys, you wanted to mention while we have the podcast tonight?
Depth chart came out the other day. We need to take the time to look at it, and we can break it down maybe on the next podcast. Just, you know, like everybody else, counting down the days till the start of college football season, we're less than a month out now from the week zero games on August 25th. So college football officially is less than a month away, and practice starts next week. Is that right?
Yes, it does. It's coming up in just a few days, right?
Yeah. Bubba, do you know what day practice starts?
I don't recall exactly. I think they may report the first and then start the next, the second or third. So
well, that's this coming week. Yes,
right. So I need to confirm.
Well, we'll just go with it. Yes, guys report August 1st and practice starts August 2nd, according to me. If I'm wrong,
there's media day coming up as well.
Yeah, media day should be coming up. Either next week, is it next weekend or
it's the fourth.
The fourth, this coming weekend. Okay, yeah. The boys will definitely be in town, guys. So yes, practice starts this coming weekend.
Because we were invited to
that answers that question.
Yeah, we were invited to Media Day, but I'm going to be on a cruise. So, unfortunately, if I'd known that ahead of time, I would. Next year, we won't be doing a cruise during Media Day. So, we'll be at Media Day next year. How about that?
Next year, schedule that cruise in mid-August next year.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. You guys,
next year's going to be the Sports Objective cruise. We'll all be on it together.
That'll be fun. I tell you what, we'll do a special. How about if we do a special podcast on the cruise next year?
Sounds good to me. We'll do it. It'll be the cruise cast.
Have you guys ever done a cruise before?
I have not. We have talked about it and talked about it and talked about it, but we tend to keep going to redneck places like Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
I have been on one cruise. That was back in 2010, and we did a Western Caribbean cruise for a week on my honeymoon. So.
And where did you go, Bubba?
The first port was supposed to be Grand Cayman, but the water was so rough there that they couldn't tender because they said in the past they had tendered under those conditions and the gentleman had lost his leg. So as much as I hated to miss that port, I'm glad they made that call. Don't want to lose any limbs. But then after that, we went to Honduras and then to Belize and then also to Cozumel. So. That was pretty cool. In Cozumel, we went to see the Mayan ruins, which was neat.
Bubba, had you lost your legs, you could have gone from Bubba to Lieutenant Dan.
Well, we got a forest cover. Wow. Okay. All right.
I think it's best I don't respond to that one.
All right. Yeah. So I'm going to definitely say you guys are tremendous. You have any final thoughts? Well, let's get out of here before we cause any more lawsuits or problems.
Just thanks everybody again for coming out to the podcast last Saturday night, all the players, all the coaches, everybody who just came out to have a good time with us, all the views on Facebook Live. Those numbers have been fantastic. I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but
over 1,400.
1,400 people viewed on Facebook Live. The podcast numbers have been good. So, and also, appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast with Coach Montgomery. Those numbers are good as well. So, just thanks everybody for supporting us. And keep supporting us and go like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter.
Bubba?
Just stay tuned for all those things we have coming up. Dave mentioned them earlier. I mean, but as far as our FBS preview and then our statewide high school football preview, FCS preview. We're going to talk to some very knowledgeable people as far as some of the top FCS teams. So you don't want to miss any of those three previews. And just stay tuned for the after party. And the after party is going to roll on. I think the next guest we're going to put out is going to be one with the coaches. We've got three former coaches that we'll talk to. And I know you're going to enjoy those interviews.
Well, until next time for Kyle from LaGrange Barber and Bubba Rosenbaum. I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.